Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your Word and to hear your Word. I ask you that you'll give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that you'll speak to us, Lord, that we are leaning in to hear from you. Regardless of what happened this past week, maybe what type of morning it was this morning, we are gathered together as a body of Christ to hear from your word. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. Why don't you turn to the person sitting next to you and say, I'm so glad you're sitting next to me today. It's just making my day. This is fantastic. We've been in a series called The Art of Hearing from God, and it's been phenomenal. I hope you've enjoyed it. And the first week, Pastor Mike, he preached on the fact that we serve a God who communicates, even though he's all-powerful, all-knowing, he's always existed, he always will exist, that God who reigns on high, that he has a personal relationship with us and that he desires to speak to us. And he also said that it's important for us to expect God to speak. Last week, he preached again on the importance of positioning yourself to hear God's voice. How many of you enjoyed that message last weekend? It's that's such a cool message, and how God can speak in different ways and different ways to different people. So the thought is that we serve a God who speaks. He speaks like he writes. He's not going to ever contradict this word. He's never going to tell you to do something that's opposed to his holy word. Amen? And that he desires to speak to us and that we can position ourselves to hear him. Today, I want to talk to you just for a few moments on the importance of hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice. I'm going to say that again. To hear God's voice and to obey God's voice. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to be reading verse 4 and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall," help me out, what's that next word say? It's not a trick. Yeah, help me. "You shall," we are awake this morning. This is great. "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and with all of your strength." Let's try it again. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall," that was strong right there. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." This passage is known as the Shema. Everybody say Shema. Come on, you sound smart already this morning. That word is a Hebrew word that actually, it literally means to hear. That's why it's called the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." But what's really interesting about this portion of Scripture, this is important. It can be a little tricky. But what's real interesting is that the same root word that's used for the word "hear" is the same root word that's used for the word "obey." So for the Jew, this is like the hallmark passage of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema. They would quote it in the mornings, they would quote it in the evenings. They would go along their way and they'd quote this thing. It was something that was buried deep inside of their heart. In fact, if they were trying to explain what they believe and what their belief system's all about, this is the passage they would turn to. In fact, in the Gospels, if you remember, there are occasions where people would come up to Jesus, and Matthew chapter 22 is one example, where a scribe, who is somebody who studied the Old Testament, particularly the first five books, he came up to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And if you go back and read that portion of Scripture, the Bible says that this scribe, this lawyer, he was actually trying to stump Jesus up. How do you know? You trying to stump up the wrong person right there. He kind of is the word. And Jesus says, "Well, that's easy. It is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment." A good way to paint this for you is that Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, would be the equivalent to John chapter 3, verse 16, for us. We know John 3, 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This was the text for them. This was the passage for them. But this is what I want you to see this morning. For the Jew and for us, there is a strong connection and correlation between hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice. We hear God, and because we hear God, we obey God. We obey because we heard, and because we hear, we obey. God speaks, and how many of you know, most of the time, God doesn't give you multiple choice. Hey, maybe think about this, if you feel like it. God, when he communicates to us and he's telling us to do something, he means what he's saying. Can I get a good amen this morning? He means it. And in this passage, it's very clear that when we hear God, we are to obey God. Let me give you a little description of maybe what this looks like, and maybe it'll give you a little better idea and picture of it. I have a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, 2 boys. Let you right now extend your hands my way and pray that the grace of the Lord will be upon our home. And I find myself talking and having conversations with my 3-year-old, and I'll tell him, I'll say, Elijah, don't do this. Or I'll say, Elijah, do this. And this is wild. This is going to shock some of you. But it's amazing how a lot of times he doesn't do what I ask him to do. How many of you learned in parenting, you do not have to teach them disobedience, you have to teach them how to obey. I've never sent him down and say, hey, buddy, I want to teach you how to be selfish today. This is going to be really good. Get out a pen and a paper. Write this down. This is what you do. You don't have to do that, man. It just becomes natural. It's so natural to us. So when he does that, this is what I do. This is funny. This is great stuff. I crouch down, and I get right in his face. And my son, he's like me. He's just everywhere. He's like looking around at space, and I'm thinking, son, what you looking at? I say, eyes on me. Anybody, any parents know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. I'm not crazy, right? Just a little bit. So I look at him and say, son, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And he'll finally look at me. I'll say, Elijah. This is after he disobeyed. I'll say, son, did you hear me? Did you hear what I was telling you to do? Now, let me make this real clear for you. I'm not asking my son if he momentarily had a lapse of ability to hear audible sounds. I'm not asking him if all of a sudden he is incapable of understanding the English language. I am asking him very simply, son, why on earth did you not do what I just told you to do? Parents, do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes I wonder if God looks at us. Come on, you see where I'm going. Looks at us and he says, hey, I've spoken clearly to you. Did you hear me? You know, the fact of the matter is this. The question for us today is not, is God speaking? The question for us to answer is, are we obeying what he's saying? God loves obedience. In fact, James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Our God is a God who desires, who loves an obedient heart. But I want to be real honest with you this morning. Obedience can be very difficult. In fact, God very rarely, I found in my own life and in the life of people in the scriptures, God very rarely calls us to do things that are easy, comfortable, and convenient. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, half of you. Now, just trust me. He very rarely calls us to do something that is easy, convenient, and comfortable. But instead, God, he's kind of got jokes, man. He thrives upon calling you and I, when we hear his voice, to obey him, and it takes a great sense of courage, a great sense of obedience, of stepping out in faith. It stretches us. It's difficult. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. And in fact, I would suggest to you today that being a Christian is not about us being comfortable. It's not. And God wants to bless us. He wants to use us, and he does. But it's all for his glory. Man, God does things for the glory of his own name. And he wants to be seen. And sometimes in the process of that, it's difficult for us to step out and trust and obey him. I'm going to give you just two examples. You can look up these scriptures later. You guys with me? We're having a good time? Genesis chapter 12, Abraham. Have you heard of a father Abraham? Go back and read that scripture. It's crazy. God shows up on the scene without any introduction, and he just says, Abraham, I'm calling you to leave your homeland. I'm calling you to leave everything that's comfortable and that you've just grown accustomed to, and I'm calling you to move. And it's going to be great, Abraham, but I'm not even going to tell you where it is that you're going. You just need to pack up your things, and you need to obey my voice. You've heard me. Now I want you to obey me. Now, we celebrate Abraham, don't we? He's a great father of the faith, man. That guy's awesome. But sometimes we miss that Abraham stepped out. Verse 4 said, he did what he heard the Lord tell him to do. Radical, bold, courageous, trust, dependency, leaning on God's will, God's understanding instead of his own. Another example, I love this one, is Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. In that portion of scripture, Isaiah the prophet, it's a cool scene. He sees the Lord, and it talks about how the Lord is high and lifted up on his throne. And the Bible talks about how the train of the robe filled the temple, and that the power of God is so great that the pillars of the temple up in heaven, that they're literally shaking, and angels are crying out continually, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we love to preach this portion of scripture. Man, this is like a fired up message, because then God says, I need somebody to go and be a messenger for me. And Isaiah, if you go back and read it, the Bible says that he's on his face. When you get in the presence of a holy God, I mean, when you're really in his presence, rarely do you have the ability to stand. And Isaiah is on his face, and Isaiah answers the call. He says, Lord, here I am, send me. Don't you love that verse? And you know, we put them on our Christian coffee mugs. We hang the banner up, here I am, Lord, send me. But then we stop reading what God tells him to do. You keep reading that portion of scripture, this is what God says. I'm going to send you to a people, and they will not have eyes to see, and they will not have ears to hear. In other words, your following is going to be very small. We don't want to hear that type of calling. And to be honest with you, it's tough to obey when God calls us to do things that are difficult. But this is what we have to watch out for. Everybody listen to me. This is real important. This is what we have to watch out for. We oftentimes will read stories in the Bible like this, about Abraham, about Isaiah, about Esther, about Ruth. The list goes on and on. And we'll read stories about these great men and women of faith. And we'll have this, automatically we'll have this disconnect between us and them. And we will assume, and we'll just think in our mind, well, that was for back in the day. God used to call people to difficult things back in the day, but he's not going to call me to do anything difficult. And then we say things like this. Why does God not move like he used to move? Why don't we see what we read about in the Bible? Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the reason. Maybe we don't see what they saw because we're unwilling to do what they did. That's good preaching. Come on, somebody. I'm just playing. In fact, the very first call, if you're a believer, the very first call that God placed on your life was the call of salvation. And I know sometimes in Christian circles we water down what salvation really should look like. Salvation is not an aimless prayer to a God that we hope exists. Salvation is not once we pray that prayer, then we go about our own business doing our own thing, and we call upon God and we beckon him whenever we're in need. Salvation, according to the scriptures, when Jesus called somebody, he said, follow me. Surrender to me. Take up your cross. You become less, I become greater. But unfortunately, what happens, church, is this, is oftentimes we play games with God. And we think, you know, God, if I don't want to do something, then I'm not going to do it. That is not salvation. That's not the picture that Jesus calls us to. He calls us, hear me today, to complete and total surrender to his will. Not my will, but your will be done. And if we could capture this, then I think when we hear God whisper to our heart, or we read things in the scripture that seem so difficult to do, but when we see that we have been saved, that we have been bought with the blood of Jesus, that the sacrifice was not small and minimal, but instead it was great and it was loud in love, and that we respond and we say, God, I want all of you. I want everything that you have for me. I think it changes the way that we respond when we hear God. Is anybody getting this morning? You see, when we hear and obey God, we hear him and we obey him, his voice gets clearer and clearer in our life. It becomes more distinct. Not only that, when we hear and we obey God, there's some things that are accompanied with it. Even when it's difficult externally, when it's hard, you hear God's voice, you hear a whisper, you read the scriptures, and something is just so clear. It's black and white, man. It's not gray, it's black and white. Do this, don't do this. When you step out in obedience, and you don't stop just with hearing, two things will accompany you. The peace of God will accompany you. Even in transitions. There's been several times in my life and my wife's life that we felt God speak to us very clearly. And it was hard. It was a transition in our life. And we stepped out. But every single time that we stepped out, God's peace was never absent. Peace is, it's priceless. The world cannot offer it to you. Only God can. But the second thing that God gives you when you obey is power. Hear me today. Imagine if we as a church, Healing Place Church, we were a people, corporately and individually, in your own home and also within here. I hope you get this. If we're a people that when we hear God, we obey his voice, and the peace of God goes with us. The power of God goes with us. When people come into this church, into this arena, there is a sense of expectation. There's a sense of, my goodness, God Almighty is here. His Spirit is present. His holy presence is here. His anointing is here. Because God moves on lives. Listen to me. God moves on lives that are fully surrendered to him. His anointing, his power, his peace, his presence, it will saturate your life. It will. Will we obey him, though? Are we obeying him? You know, this subject is kind of dear to my heart. And you're thinking, man, why is this guy so fired up? But 20 years ago, my mom and dad, who were living in Demopolis, Alabama, D-Mop, what does Pastor Mike say? You've never heard of Demopolis. You've never been to Demopolis. You never want to go to Demopolis. He goes, Jesus. Yeah, I love it. That's my best impersonation. So we were living there, and the Lord began to stir in my mom and my dad's hearts. And they had been saved for a little while, but they started to encounter the Holy Spirit more than ever before, and the Lord started speaking to them. And listen to this. This is radical. This is crazy. The Lord spoke to their hearts to move to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. Get out of Egypt and go to the promised land. LSU Tigers, you're waking up this morning. And so this is crazy. This is radical. This is bold. This is not just hearing. This is obeying. They stepped out and they obeyed God. They felt like they were supposed to go to a certain church here in town, and they were supposed to plug my sister and I in that church and themselves in that church. And for the next 4.5 years, God did amazing things to our family. His presence was there. His peace was there. Yeah, it was difficult. In fact, people in DMOP, you know, they actually, some of their closest friends came up to them, and they were like, hey, listen, we've got some counseling set up for you. People thought they literally had gone crazy. My dad's a business owner, never been in full-time ministry, still is not in full-time ministry. He went to sell his house. He went to sell his business. They were selling everything because they knew God was speaking to them. Now, this is important. If you're married, listen to this. If you go into the prayer closet, you go in to pray, and one of you comes out with one message and another of you comes out with another message, go back to praying. Because you're going to have some issues in your marriage. God does not speak confusing language. He speaks very clearly. If you speak something to your wife, he's going to speak it to the husband. He's going to speak same page. So they do that. They sell everything. God moves. But this is what I want you to see. This is important. Obedience has consequences that are good. And the effect of your obedience, mom and dads, listen to me. The effect of your obedience does not stop with just you. But there's a ripple effect even among your children. Here I say, this is wild. 25 years later, I am walking, and I say this humbly, it's because of their faithfulness. I'm walking in the faithfulness of my mom and dad's decision. Here, I mean, I'm not in any way trying to, yeah. You can clap. We've been a little unsure of the clap today. I'm not saying this in a boastful way whatsoever, I promise. I want you to hear my heart. But here I am, and God has given an opportunity today to preach his word to several thousand people. They obeyed. I'm just walking in it. That's powerful. You think that your obedience just affects you. The Bible says this in Genesis. It says that Abraham obeyed God. And then it says about Isaac, who was his son, Isaac walked in the obedience of his father. So what about you? What is God speaking to you? Maybe some of you in this room today, God might not be calling you to move, but maybe he's calling you to let go of bitterness. Maybe some of you in here, God's calling you to forgive your dad. You say, well, David, you don't know what my dad did to me. Jesus knows. And I'm not belittling the difficulty of that. It's hard to obey God, but one of the greatest gifts we can oftentimes give ourselves is when we forgive somebody else. We're no longer prisoner to that thing. Maybe some of you in here today, God has given you a check in your spirit about a relationship. We're getting real now. And you want to engage in this relationship, but you get a check in your spirit, and God says, this is not what I have for you. Don't deny that voice. Don't deny that check. Maybe some of you, it's to go up to somebody and ask them for forgiveness. It's funny, man. Sometimes we'll hear things, we'll be like, I think God is telling me to ask somebody for forgiveness. I can promise you this, it's not the devil. I was talking this past week, there's a guy in our church, his name is Rusty Domain, and he is crazy, man. He's crazy. And he talks like this, he's like, Holy Ghost. That's what he calls me. It's a little weird when we're out in public. Holy Ghost. And he'll say, man, he said, the other day I was working out, and there's this guy there, and I just felt in my spirit, the Lord just keeps telling me, because years ago, I actually got in a fight with this guy, and Rusty's a big old dude. I got in a fight with this guy, and it was bad. And he said, I just kept feeling my spirit that I was supposed to go and ask him to forgive me. He said, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to ask him. But he said, finally, he knew that God was speaking to him. He heard God, and he chose to obey. So he goes over to the gentleman, and he says, sir, I got to ask you something. Maybe you don't even remember, but years ago we got in a fight. It was bad, and I want to tell you that I am deeply sorry. And the guy looked at him, and he says, man, I appreciate so much you telling me that, because every time I saw you, I thought about that moment. That guy doesn't even know Jesus, but now because of his hearing and obeying, there's a door that's opened. One that the enemy wanted to shut. Maybe some of you, God has been pricking your spirit and he's saying, hey, stay away from certain websites. Don't go there. It's going to be a trap to you. Maybe stay away from certain places I've had in my own life where I just feel a whisper of the Lord and through his word, just, hey, be careful where you go. Be careful what environments you place yourself in. Whatever God is speaking to you, church, can I tell you this? Trust his voice and obey it. Trust his voice and obey it. He is for you. He is not against you. He wants the best things for you. Sometimes we hear things like God saying, don't do this. And we think, God, you're trying to withhold good things from me. No, he's trying to keep bad things from happening to you. Because here's the truth of the matter, church. God hates sin. He hates disobedience. He won't tolerate it. He can't stand it. It's against his nature. When we sin against him, when we hear him and we disobey, it grieves him. It grieves him. The scriptures are very clear about that. And there's something that happens when we disobey the clear direction of God. And let me tell you, don't make it confusing. This is not whispers from God. It's right here in this book. Read it. We've got to read it so we know what God's calling us to do. You say, man, you're kind of preaching hard today. We need truth. We need to be set free. God didn't call us to live in shackles and bondages and the things of the enemy. Man, he's called us to have life and life more abundantly. To be a light in everywhere we go. That when people see us, listen to me, when people see us, they see Jesus. Not because we're perfect and holy and, well, look at my halo I got going on. It's looking kind of good today. But instead, the Spirit of God is so real and active in our lives because we hear Him and we obey Him. But remember this, make no mistake about it. God despises, He despises sin. Sin repulses Him, and it should repulse us as well. It should cause our skin to crawl. We should get convicted when we sin. And I'm not talking about condemnation where we don't go back to the things of God, but instead when we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we get back up and we go the opposite direction. You see the grotesque picture of God's hatred towards sin on the cross. A brutal scene. Where they take Jesus and His body and they lay Him upon a wooden cross after His back has been ripped to shreds, where literally you can see bones if you look at His back. And now they lay Him on a cross and they place 5 to 7 inch nail spikes, most scholars say, through His hands and through His feet, the two most sensitive nerve endings in the entire body. In fact, the crucifixion, if you study about the crucifixion, you learn that the word that we say excruciating pain, it actually derived from the cross. They didn't even have a word to describe how painful and horrific that encounter was. I want you to know this. God hates sin, but He does not hate you. He is passionately in love with you, and He wants you to hear His voice and obey it. Have you ever been around somebody before, and man, they didn't like you at all? I know some of you have never encountered that. I have, but they didn't. They didn't like you at all. And in fact, like, you got around them, and their gag reflex started working. I mean, it's intense. What do you do with people who don't like you at all? Do you go towards them, or do you go away from them? Away from them. It's not a trick question. You go away from them because you don't want to be around somebody that they want to vomit when you're in their presence. You just don't. It's not really uplifting. Let me tell you something. You cannot see God when you disobey, because it's going to happen. When you do things wrong, you cannot see God as an angry parent who despises you. You do not run towards anger. You do run towards grace. You do run towards compassion. You do run towards love. And this is the key. This is the key. As we land this plane, this is the key. How do we obey God? How do we obey Him? David, you talked to us about when we hear God, we're supposed to obey Him. It's going to be tough. It's difficult. We have to die to ourselves. Consequences of sin, all those things. So how do I obey God? This is the key. It's through love. I have found in my own life that I will obey for a season over the fear of the consequence of that sin. Just for a season. But when I understand, when I have a picture of the cross, when I fully realize how much God loves me, this is what I want to do. I want to obey because of His love for me, and I obey through my love for Him. And amazingly, what before was so hard and difficult, now, because you are in love with Jesus, you say, God, I trust You. Because Your love for me is not conditional. I lean not on my own understanding, but in all of my ways I acknowledge You. I lean in, and whatever You say, I am going to do. What was once hard, now all of a sudden, through the grace and the power of the cross, through love, John 3:16, Deuteronomy chapter 6, now we can respond in obedience because of the enormous, the incredible, indescribable love that God has towards us and our love towards Him. Yesterday in our devotions, we sang this song. We could listen to the song if you clicked on it. It was about the wondrous cross. And I sat there, and I'd been preparing for this message. And I heard that song. And I asked Josh to play and Tabitha to sing here in just a moment. And when I heard that song yesterday in the devotional, it broke me down. The wondrous cross. And they're going to sing it in just a moment, but I want you to hear these words, and I want you to allow God's love, His grace, His mercy to consume you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.